Now, is this a scene you recognised? Faced with extraordinary events, difficult things to understand, and an uncertain future, the disciples go off fishing. But here, as ever in the Gospels, the most famous fishermen the world has ever known catch nothing. Not a single fish caught in the Gospels without Jesus' help. Did you know that? Early the next morning, as I guess they were coming in, or at least thinking that they might do so, there's a man standing on the shore. It's Jesus, but they don't recognise him. And they hear this shout from the shore. "Friends," he says. You could translate it as "children," but "friends" will do. "Friends, you have no fish, have you?" Think of yourself in the boat. You're an emotional wreck. That's why you've gone fishing. Your best friend ever was killed, and 3 days later you saw him alive, and you saw him a few times, but you haven't seen him a lot, and you haven't seen him since. You've gone fishing with your mates to get away from it all. You've been up all night, you're tired, wet and cold, and you have no fish. Have I missed anything? I have, actually. You're a very experienced fisherman. It's what you do. And now this clown on the shore is saying, "La la la la, you haven't got any fish, have you?" Let me ask you this. What do you feel like saying? So, what would you have done? Told this stranger where to go and throw his own net? Maybe, but they did what they were told, unexplained compliance, with an unreasoned command from an unknown stranger. Odd, but it happened. When Jesus speaks, people tend to do what he says. And they get this huge haul of fish. It's back-breaking, net-risking, all the rest of it. Skilled fishermen who'd been out fishing all night, unable to catch a thing, command from a stranger, and these fish seem to dance to his tune. And as the nets bulge, realization dawns. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, gets it. And then Peter gets it too, and lovely Peter is off, literally off the boat, swimming joyfully for the shore. Now, let's leave them hauling the net and Peter swimming for the shore, because our curious little incident is just about to get even more curious. Not only is Jesus directing operations from the shore, but the barbecue is already going. By which I mean, of course, that not only is the fire lit, but his fish, not the ones you've caught, you haven't brought them in yet, his fish are already cooking. The abundance of the catch seems to be oddly superfluous. What, we are thinking, was the point of all that? Was it just Jesus having a "just because I can" moment? Surely not. But just as that thought enters our minds, the disciples reach the shore with the fish. Now, Jesus is clearly well able to supply his own fish, but he says something else, something again, very odd. "Bring some of the fish you have caught," he says. So he has fish cooking already, but he still wants them to bring some of theirs. And then he says something else. "Come and have breakfast." What on earth is going on here? I think there's a sort of half-spoken message being acted out. Jesus' teaching is not just what he says, but what happens, what he does. Jesus' message, I think, is something like this. Maybe he's saying, "You did not need to go out fishing, since I can supply what you need. But even if you're off doing your own thing, you can look to me for help in abundance. I am, after all, the Lord of all and ruler of all creation. I can provide way more than you need. Just do what I say. It's all you need to do." And even though I can provide all you need, he says, even breakfast, nonetheless, I want you to bring what you have. Bring your contribution, the contribution I helped you to gather. Add it in to mine. Something like that, anyway. It's not surprising that John chose this incident to hand down to future generations. It's a very beautiful response to a confused bunch of followers who've been locked out of the life they were expecting with Jesus. And it's a great reminder to us both of the self-sufficiency of God and of his precious care for us. We go off and do our own thing. I do it all the time, and you probably do too. But Jesus is there, waving from the shore, as it were, and present in power in whatever we do. All we have to do is follow his commands. Actually, I think we often go off and do our own thing, sometimes under the guise of pretending that it's what he wants us to do. I do that rather a lot, and you probably do too. We come up with plans, and then we kind of try and pray him into it. The better way around would be to pray first, of course, but hey, Jesus gets who we are. The flexibility and generosity and provision of Jesus is there in that image of him standing on the shore and saying, just put your net down on that side and it's all going to be okay. And then saying, okay guys, add what you've brought into the breakfast I'm already providing. It's lovely, and it gets better with that simple invitation, come and have breakfast. What he's really saying is, come and have breakfast with me. There's a lovely sense of reunion here, reuniting even, of people who'd been broken apart. They were off doing their own thing, but he helped them anyway. He'd provided what they needed, but nonetheless said, add yours. And now just an invitation to be together, to have breakfast, to break the fast together. The next scene is one in which we focus in on Peter. We'll look at that another time. It's the famous scene in which Jesus pushes Peter three times and asks him, do you love me? It's a scene which speaks strongly of full and final forgiveness and reconciliation, of bringing Peter fully back into Jesus's confidence. But I think all of them needed that loving reassurance that the fishing, the catching of the fish, and the barbecue on the beach provided. It's an acted out parable for all of us. At its heart, it reminds them and it reminds us that he who was dead is now alive, and that life with him, eating together, talking together, walking together, will continue. It's an ongoing relationship, a relationship in which he provides. It's a relationship in which we're called to give back, and it's a relationship in which marvellous things, including full forgiveness, ultimate reassurance, all of that love comes from him who was dead, but is now alive.